Donna and Steve show, you guys.
Woo!
Donna Valentine and Steve Patterson, along with producer Don McLean, all at your service.
Woo!
When it got to the part that said, I walk into the room, Steve opened the door and walked in.
If only he was throwing out $100 bills, that would have made everything so much better.
This is all, you know, I wish I had timed that. I'm a goober enough.
Oh,
I guess I accidentally did.
You accidentally did. It was fantastic.
And this is after both of you, by the way, Dawn, after you left yesterday. Donna mentioned it. I opened the door to my bathroom is behind me. I'm in a closet, okay, guys, in case you think I have some fancy at-home studio. I'm in a closet. My clothes are right beside me. And I left the door open. Don, you thought that you saw a basketball hoop.
Yeah,
like
and
a
I
sport
go,
court situation.
I go, Donna, is he in his garage? I thought he was in the house. I thought it was a basketball hoop. Turns out it was his chandelier in his bathroom.
Yeah,
that's like an iron type of a situation.
It's like a sphere-y, you know, it's a beady thing.
Yeah.
So that's actually like beads
that
are on there.
Oh, Steve, I have the same one in my closet, in my dressing room. Same exact one, but it's gold.
Oh.
Wow.
It's got a little
And it's got like little crystals on it.
Oh, well, mine
instead of beads. Crystal. You have like beads on yours.
Yeah, mine has beads on it. Like
we're going to have to take a picture of this.
Okay. Now, here's the problem that I'm making with light is...
I can't.
Is that you should have clear bulbs in there, but when the lights were put in, they had just put in these, you know, the opaque, they're like LED and they're dimmable, but they're opaque and that doesn't look good. You want them to be nicer looking. Dawn, check that to see, is there anything sketchy on my...
Okay, let me see.
Like
it doesn't look like it.
Like
it looks pretty clean. Looks like
cream.
Anus cream?
What?
Lord in heaven. Do you,
Preparation age? I don't know.
What do we got? A poopery out there.
When are you coming back? This is getting
24th.
Oh, I did not know that that we had a date.
Yeah, the 24th.
Oh, did we get a rollout email that I lost?
Yeah. We'll get to emails later in the show how often does it or how long does it take you to respond to an email. Zoom in on that though, Dawn. Make sure there's nothing weird. I think it's just poopery.
I will zoom in just on the chandelier and I'll put it on Facebook or Twitter.
Wonderful.
I don't Facebook.
Anyway.
So now, Steve, when you come back, are you coming back 3 days a week?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
You're never going to have me 5 days a week. That's too clingy.
I didn't know that.
I'm always going to work a little hybrid thing here. All right. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. We're doing great. We're loving it. You hate working from home. Remember?
I just don't like not having all my stuff.
Yeah. I will say, now that we have all of you listening, you have worked from home at some point for some portion of time, or if you stay at home and you work out of the home, in general, you stay at home mom, you've had your kids home. I think we have all realized that working from home has its conveniences, to be sure, like not sitting in traffic. That's great. But the functionality of it all, I keep maintaining that this last year... required more work than ever before, and I was also less efficient than ever before.
Okay, interesting.
Because I have to set up, there's camera. If I'm just looking at a computer screen all day long, simple enough. But then I go from this setup, then I have to set something up for TV down in the living room, which you can't leave up because of the baby and the dog. They'll knock it over, they'll crush your computer, your camera, the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know how moms are able to work full-time, especially like executives.
Yes.
I don't know how they work full-time and then have little children running around in diapers.
Great question. If anyone does it and knows how you do it, tell us.
And then we will write a book.
Hey, let's talk about Ellen.
Yes.
Ellen DeGeneres. So the news came out yesterday when we were on the show, actually, that she is not going to be continuing her show past the 2021-2022 season. So that means that the new fall season coming in September will be the beginning of her farewell tour. And, of course, there were all the allegations of a toxic work environment that came out during 2020. So a lot of folks have wondered, is that what's going on here? Savannah Guthrie from the Today Show hopped on a plane yesterday afternoon and tweeted out, I'm on my way to sit down with Ellen. And it'll air this morning on the Today Show. That aired. Here is Savannah talking with Ellen regarding the reason why she's leaving.
But it's been a difficult season of Ellen's life. Last summer, headlines swirled, calling her kind image into question. Former staffers calling the work environment on her show toxic.
There will be people who think, oh, Ellen's leaving now because of everything that went on.
If it was why I was quitting, I would have not come back this year. I really did think about not coming back because it did, you know, I mean, it was devastating. I am a kind person. I am a person who likes to make people happy. I just kept saying to Portia, I was like, if I was a fan of somebody, and even if I loved them, I would think there must be some truth to it because it's not stopping. And then right on the heels of that, I read in the press that there's a toxic work environment, which, I mean, I had no idea, never saw anything that would even point to that.
But it's been a difficult season of Ellen's life.
What do you make of her saying, yeah, that's not the reason, it's my own reason why I'm leaving?
I believe it because I feel like she's talked about this in years past, saying that Portia has wanted her to leave. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'll know when the time is right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it helps that happened, you know, those rumors or, you know, all of that coming out. And I don't think it helps that the ratings have not been great. So
it feels like those could be the straws that have broken the proverbial camel's back.
Yeah, like I'm sure that has something to do with it. Maybe not everything, but something.
You know, and I will say this, I suppose in defense of Ellen, I don't know how big that staff is there, but I guess I could figure out a situation where she isn't aware of a toxic environment, because people probably act one way around her, not only the management, some of those folks who were fired, right, that they maybe put on their best front, but also in terms of people being open and communicating about it. You can say, hey, my door is always open and all of that, but your employees will act one way whenever you walk into a room. Mm-hmm. And they will very rarely, when bosses say, my door is always open, how's everybody doing? Let's talk about stuff. Very rarely do people talk about stuff. They talk about it with each other. They don't actually go to the boss. So I could see Ellen not hearing about this and everybody just sort of smiling and going along with it. I get that, Steve, being surprised.
But I feel like there were also some very specific examples that involved Ellen herself, not just people, producers and other executives.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, listen, I have bad days. You have bad days.
Hey.
I'm not always going to be, especially when you brand yourself as someone who is all for kindness.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard thing to live up to.
Well, and clearly, just with the ratings drop, I know we got to go, but I mean, she lost 1 million viewers.
That's a lot.
And that has held, right? I mean, she's 1 million down and that's held. And so clearly, the audience felt some level of disconnect of you're saying this, and then either you are being unkind or you are okay with other people being unkind under your watch.
Perception is reality.
A little bit later on, we'll tell you and who is being considered possibly to replace Ellen.
Here you're going to be surprised.
A name out of left field. So maybe we can tap into that quick at 9:30.
I love it, Steve.
How about that? When we come back, we got some things that make you go, huh? Coming up next on Dawn and Steve on My Talk. Hey, big shout out to our friends at Chill Boys for sponsoring our podcast.
Yes, Chill Boys is local. They make really comfortable and cooling men's underwear. The fabric is breathable and flexible because it's made from bamboo with a little smidge of spandex, and you could get a great deal right now on your first purchase.
Yeah, you go to chillboys.com and then use the promo code MYTALK when you're there. What will await you besides a great deal? How about the most comfortable fabric that you will ever put over your nether regions? You need to believe me when I tell you that, because it's true. I've tried all sorts of different kinds, including some really big names out there that say we have the most comfortable. Nay, said the horse, you do not. The Chill Boys are so comfortable. They're made of this bamboo fabric, which is just like made up of cumulonimbus clouds. It feels so good. It is so cool. And my groin has been super happy with me ever since I made the switch.
Good to know. Great for biking, hiking, fishing, working out. No wedgies, no chafing, no odor. You guys, you got to try these.
Go to chillboys.com. Don't forget to use that promo code MYTALK. Chill Boys, comfort where it counts.
Hey, good morning.
Welcome back to the Donna and Steve Show on a beautiful day here in the Twin Cities. Isn't it just gorgeous when you came in?
It is. That's why it's crazy when you hear that this weekend, 3 to 6 inches across most.
Okay. Stop it. Okay. How dare you, sir?
No, it's going to be gorgeous. The next the next week is like a copy and paste, 70 degrees.
Great. Love it. Yay. Get out there, guys. Have some fun.
Yeah.
Hit that like button.
Get that hula hoop. Oh, yeah. Smash that like button. Don't forget to click. We're all pretty dumb, except you, Dawn.
Nope, still dumb.
No, but your IQ is high.
But that doesn't mean anything. Anyway, go on.
It does, though.
Okay, though.
Okay, though. Donna, you're pretty dumb.
Yeah, for sure. No,
yeah, we've totally. Got the standardized test scores hard. To prove it. Life experience.
I don't test well.
Fashion choices. We have it all. Whoa, I didn't mean that.
That was aggressive.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean that. Fine, I get it.
Okay, from colonial times until World War II, by the point of that being that we're all going to get smarter now, from colonial times until World War II, May 1st was called Moving Day in New York City.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking here.
Why is that?
Because it was a tradition for millions of people to move at 9 a.m. on that day. Now, I don't think they mean move houses.
Oh, you mean just walking? I'm walking here.
I'm walking. I'm moving here. Oh,
moving day. Get going. Did you say it's a Monday?
I said it's a May 1, every May 1, and it happens at 9 a.m.
Huh. Well, we got to find out more about that. You can't just hit us with that and no explanation.
Are there street parties?
Yeah, like what's happening?
What do you think? It's like a national night out kind of a thing?
Yeah.
I like the old national night out.
I thought that was really fun.
Didn't they change the name of that?
Really?
Yeah.
Donna?
Yeah, they did.
You've done it, right?
Yes.
I like it.
I go every year.
It is fun. And then the fire truck comes by.
Yes. And the hot fireman. Oh,
whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa. I was going to say then the kids get to take pictures in the fire truck.
Okay, the new name is...
Or did it use National Night Out? There?
Night to Unite?
Night to Unite. That's it?
Yep.
That's it?
Night to Unite. Nobody says it. People say National Night Out.
National Night Out. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do quite like that. I like a good street gathering. I like a let's put a horsey up at the end of the street to block traffic.
Mm-hmm. Steve, do you know what Zeppelis are?
Zeppelis are either a form of a hoagie or something similar to a cannoli.
They're basically donuts. They're just dough balls. And then you put them in a paper bag and you shake them up with powdered sugar. And they're always at New York street fairs and street parties and feasts of, the St. Anthony feast.
That's fun.
And I saw them at the state fair a few years ago, and I don't know if they're still there. And I remember seeing it and going, oh, my God, they have Zeppelis.
The state fair.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes.
Good to know. Okay, I'm going to look for it again this year. Anyway, that's what I think of when I think of seeing people outside. And
how wonderful.
And I thought, because you're a Pennsylvania guy, you would know.
I don't. And but boy, you mentioned the state fair. Feeling good?
Yep.
Feeling like it's going to happen, right?
I feel like it is going to happen.
Restriction-free, probably.
I mean, I'm very happy for the state fair.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself as a guest of the fair.
Okay.
I do not like working at the fair.
Talk
I'm going to be
it.
Honest. I'm being vulnerable. Please allow me.
It's okay. I get it.
You don't like working
out
of your element.
I have social anxiety. I don't like, yes. I don't like people looking at me while I'm working. Yeah. How about you, Dawn?
I don't get to do that.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Here.
That's right. You come out later.
And I
for
just
the,
have the
for the mauling.
I have the meet and creep.
Do you like working back here at the station when we're out at the fair? Would you rather
I feel
out there?
Jealous.
Oh, Donna and Dawn, sounds like you guys could do a swap-a-doozy, huh?
Yeah, right? You want to produce the morning show?
I could try.
That'd be fun.
I'll have to train a little bit.
Okay.
But... Wow, yeah.
So anyway.
It is nice to be outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
That I do like about it. But I feel like people, they don't hear what we hear in our headphones, so they don't always know. Like, hey, don't just walk up to us and start chatting because we're doing a radio show.
Right. They just walk right over to the bar. Like, there are these bars on the side of the stage
where
we are.
That's so funny.
Steve. Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
It's me.
Tell me about them. What kind of trees did you get?
Yeah, and it's Steve. Like,
hang on.
I always get excited whenever there'll be a Saturday that I have to go out and do it. I like it. And I've, you know, in the past, I probably wouldn't have, but I've tried to reframe it for myself.
Oh, that's
like,
good.
This is a really good opportunity.
It is.
To be, I'm not trying to be woo-woo or put down, because I also have social anxiety.
Yeah.
The meet and greet gives me hives.
Whereas I'm like, line them up. Let's do this. Well, make it a kissing booth.
People say weird stuff, and they get really close.
Yeah.
But yeah,
not you people. They're different
people. Not the
listeners.
You don't know them.
But every 20th person does something or says something to usually Jason that is really rude and uncalled for, and it's always really shocking. Or people were touching Lex's belly, and she was like, and she was all, and I feel like I have to run interference, and then I'm like,
and you can see someone's hairy armpit coming from a mile away, and you're like, I know that that's going to land on my shoulder.
Yeah, and most of the time it isn't. It's just like every 20th person gives me the vibes.
I always, broadcasting at the State Fair is interesting. I quite like it. When we get there for the radio show, it's peaceful and quiet there.
It is. It's
so
lovely.
I like being on the fairgrounds as it wakes up.
Yes.
I do, by the time, though, like now that TCL goes until 4:30, which again is the reason we believe that Ellen is closing up shop, couldn't go toe-to-toe with us, and we respect that, and we're humbled by it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And plus, I've been doing this since 1994, too.
But,
like every single year since the year of 1994.
You're like a donkey that's been at the petting zoo at the fair since 1979.
Yeah, you're about to bite a kid.
You're like,
well,
you
never
hate
did
this.
That before.
Oh, poor
But
Zeffy.
By the time that we wrap 4:30 and then we do a meet and greet, and it's like we're not on the shuttle bus until like 5:15 to get back.
Sure.
I start each day with just eyes wide open, filled with optimism, and then by the very end of it all, I'm like, shoot, and then I got to drive home to Chaska.
So to answer your question, very excited.
Super pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Super pumped.
Super pumped.
I guess I'll give you this since we're here.
Yeah.
Japan has more 7-Elevens than any other country in the world. It has more than 21,000 locations. The United States has less than half of that.
Wow.
Huh?
Okay.
Whoa, I didn't know that. That's
and
fun.
And this will make some people angry, so I'll say it. It didn't become legal to breastfeed in public in every state until 2018.
Oh,
that's when Utah and Idaho finally passed laws to allow it.
Wow. Rude.
My milk just came in.
Oh, ew. When we come back, Dawn is watching Mayor of Easttown.
Yes.
I'm dying to find out what you think of this show. We'll discuss that and more coming up next on My Talk.
Warm weather is finally here. It's summertime and the perfect time to join the Y. The Y has outdoor pools and splash decks at locations throughout the area for fun days with family and friends. And here's the best part. If you join by May 13th, you'll get $5 enrollment and 25% off dues for the whole summer. Swim on over to ymcanorth.org and join today.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. Talk TV, shall we? We had talked about Ellen making the announcement that she will be leaving after one more season of The Ellen Show. But now they're talking about her replacement already.
Right.
This name is going to surprise people.
I think so, too.
And is there any truth to it, or is this just a... Is this
just one person?
Yeah, that's right.
Tiffany Haddish.
Mm.
What do you think? Tiffany Haddish to replace
Ellen.
Did
she guest co-host? Or guest
she
host
has,
that,
yes.
Not long ago?
Yes. I think she was a regular fill-in for her.
I didn't see any of those episodes, so I don't know. I know people love her. I know she's hot. Like her career's as hot as it's ever been.
Yeah, she's got that new movie with Billy Crystal right now, which looks
really cute.
Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a sweet movie.
And she hosts Kids Say the Darndest Things now.
Oh.
So that's supposed to be, she's supposed to do a great job there.
They also say she's got that same kind, feel-good vibe that Ellen has.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I like her. I think I could get down with this.
Now, the other name that has rattled around as sort of the heir apparent to that time slot is Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, she's great.
So you would imagine Kelly Clarkson's people are talking to the syndicators now saying, hey, we
just
want
move
that.
Up to three.
We want that.
Right. Can I ask, is Drew Barrymore's show still on the air?
I believe it did get renewed for a second season. Now, remember, oh. I think that that's a fake renewal because I believe that the majority of these shows sign a 2-year deal.
Right.
And then they throw out the press release that says it got picked up.
Oh. That makes sense.
And it's just when it just needs an added little boost.
Yeah. Hollywood speaking.
And I know that from experience of working at a place where we did a release for a show that was getting picked up, quote unquote, for its second season. And there was a manager who had said, we already signed a 2-year deal.
Gotcha. Mm. Okay.
Putting this out now.
Got it. Dawn.
Yes.
Before we get to Mayor of Easttown.
Murder Dirter.
Murder Dirter.
Let's just call it Murder Dirter.
Okay, I like it. Robert De Niro is going to play your boyfriend's father in a new comedy that's coming out about Sebastian Maniscalco.
And
go ahead,
in
Steve.
Texas.
Oh, like my Sebastian. Gosh.
So, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I think that's great. This is his dream. He's so in love with, you know, the
his
fact
family.
That he got to be in The Irishman. So I listened to his podcast from the beginning, like, you know, for like 7 years of it. I finally got caught up because I like to binge things until I'm done.
Yep.
So it was like 7 years of a podcast in 7 months.
Oh,
so I could hear him. It was such a great like thing from the beginning to hear him just being a normal guy with his co-host and talking about how these were his idols, De Niro, Al Pacino, you know, because he's just an Italian, you know.
Yes.
And then when he got The Irishman, I was like, oh, I felt like it was my brother and his dream has come alive. It was because he would talk about his auditions that he had with things and how he wouldn't get stuff. He also had a sitcom in the works a couple of times that didn't get picked up, and they even filmed and everything. And that was kind of heartbreaking for the listeners. So this is just so cool for him.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know where it's going to end up, but Robert De Niro has signed on. It's loosely based on his own life story, following Sebastian as he tells his, you know, old school Italian immigrant father that he's going to propose to his all-American girlfriend, and insists on crashing a weekend with her parents.
Oh, wow.
So it's a culture clash, and then it's supposed to be super funny. But interesting side note on Robert De Niro, he has been taking a lot of roles that he normally wouldn't take because he's going through this situation with his wife. I think they're in the middle of a divorce, and she is spending tons of money.
Oh.
He's also delinquent on his taxes.
Oh,
so
no.
Paychecks from his next two movies, or at least his last two movies, were supposed to offset his latest like multi-million dollar bill to
the ex-wife who is bleeding him dry.
It's, yep.
I don't know if they had a prenup or if they didn't, but she has, I think it's like, okay, this is, if I'm reaching back in my memory and this is right, her monthly allowance is like
$295,000.
Mm-hmm. What? Monthly that she gets from De Niro.
On what is she
spending? To maintain her lifestyle.
Diamonds, Stella McCartney.
Lord. Yeah, it's not child support.
Yeah. And so he's got to take every project that comes his way. He's 77 years old. He's working 12-hour days just to keep up with her thirst for this lifestyle. And he could get sick tomorrow, they're saying, and the party's over for her.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this sounds great because the real key, the funniest parts of Sebastian Maniscalco's comedy is stories about his dad. And this is called About My Father, and it's going to be a film.
Yes, a comedy.
So not a sitcom.
No.
Okay,
no,
he's been a movie. Trying for that for years, but I think this is going to be fantastic.
I think so, too. I think he's very talented.
All of his stories about his dad are hilarious.
So good.
He's from Sicily, old school, just like way of managing the home, and he does a great impersonation.
You know, it's really funny. I could talk about this, but when I got married. I married into an all-Italian family.
Oh, how cool.
And we kind of had to fib on how Italian I was because they expect you to marry. I mean, it's so old.
I always thought you were more Italian than you are. Because
she's been lying to you as well.
Yes.
So I assumed you were Polish.
I am. Thank you. Because I'm what? Dumb?
No.
Just a Polish child. What are we doing here?
No, because I've just talked to you about that before. Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, my paternal grandfather was Italian. So we had to kind of.
How Italian was he?
All Italian.
Oh, you,
yeah.
Okay.
All Italian.
So you're a quarter Italian.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine, okay. But not fine enough for them.
Well,
why do you not make it a spaghetti?
Like, I didn't speak Italian, so holidays, they're all just like, you know, speaking the language, and I'm just like, and I'm Donna Valentine.
Oh, my God.
Hey, guys, how's the fish?
Man. Oh, jeez.
Anyway, so I'm particularly interested in seeing this because I mean it was really old school. Like his sister couldn't move out of the house until she got married.
Yeah. Oh, this is the kind of family that he grew up in.
Correct.
In Chicago. His
now,
dad, oh.
And we're talking about Sebastian Maniscalco if you're just joining us.
Yeah, and he's gonna now be starring opposite Robert De Niro, who will play his father. Can't you imagine Robert, like, okay, they say cut and now you're just chit chatting in between takes. Can't you imagine Sebastian Maniscalco really irritating Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Like at first, De Niro's like, that's funny, and whatever, however he talks. And it's funny and it's great. And then when they go to like take seven, and he's like, hey, Robert. And he's doing just his really affected thing. I don't know if De Niro might punch him at some
point. Yeah, he looks like he gets crabby.
He's a lot of energy. He's like, you know, on stage at least. I don't know how he is. And his wife is lovely. So that's going to be the beginning of his relationship with his wife.
This will be fun.
Can I throw out a De Niro movie that people should watch, by the way, very briefly? The Intern with Anne Hathaway.
Really
That's
good.
One of the weird choices that you think is De Niro doing this just for business purposes, but it was delightful.
I loved it.
I really was surprised by how much I enjoyed that movie.
Is it a romantic movie?
You know, it's actually not.
No,
it's not in the way that you
friendship.
Think it would be.
It's about friendship.
It's about friendship. I think Dawn might hate it, though, because that one part of her heart, the biggest part, is cold and dead.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
And Anne Hathaway is in it.
Oh, I like her.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
okay.
Because she's an incredible singer.
Oh, that's nice.
I loved her in Les Mis.
Do we have time? Let's talk about
murder talk.
Dawn, you started watching Mayor of Easttown.
I did.
What do you think?
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
Oh, it's so dark and just, I mean, Kate Winslet is so good.
Isn't she fantastic?
I mean, and I love the writing. It's kind of hard to keep up with all the characters. I almost needed to make a list of whose mother was whose
child
and whose cousin to who. But she's kind of related to everybody in town. And this is on HBO Max, and it's a murder mystery story. The police chief or the she's a detective. Okay, but she's the lead detective in this community, and her melancholy is just infectious.
Yeah.
It's just like her sadness. She doesn't have to say to have a conversation about I'm sad and I don't let things out. It's like you can see it in her face, and the writing is so great that she just resists all type of treatment to get better.
She's like, it comes out in anger more than, you know, oftentimes when people are angry, it's because they're sad or scared.
Sure.
And that's how, just kind of the same way animals, you know, are like, get away from me. It's because there's a fear involved. And I feel like, she's a very deep,
complex character.
Yeah.
I love that every episode, because it's about a couple of murder mysteries, you're like, whoa, the suspect pool just opened up even more.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you just can't.
Does it keep you guessing throughout?
Oh, that's what I love about
Everybody's suspicious. Like, everybody.
Everybody. Oh. They just put out, I mean, there's so many red herrings, it smells like fish. The whole show is like, okay, that's a hanging lantern there. There's a red herring over there. I mean, the writing is brilliant. It is a real, I don't know who wrote it. But hats off to them. They must have.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and this is Kate Winslet like you've never seen her before. Because I think of Kate Winslet and I just think this beautiful, you know, busty, glamorous, you know, Hollywood actress.
This is
all
her
of that is thrown out the window.
I feel
all
like
of
this
that.
Is her real wheelhouse.
I mean, think so too.
You can't tell for a second that she's English. Now, I'm not from Pennsylvania, Steve. I have not ever caught a part of her accent coming
through.
One time. Okay, yeah. Well, you're East Coast, so that makes sense.
Just the one time I heard a little British in there.
Sure. Yeah, you're more highly critical of the accent.
Yeah. But I highly recommend this. It's so interesting. It's scary. I just finished the third episode, so I think I'm one behind.
You are, okay.
And I guess the next episode I'm about to embark on is very scary. So, know someone in the cast,
which is crazy. One of the main characters early on.
Yeah, she was my last Dorothy when I played the Wizard of Oz.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and she went on to be a big movie star like in an instant. Her name's Kaylee Spaney.
And she plays a teenager in this show, Mayor of Easttown. And she's great. She was my favorite. I'm kind of mad about something that happened. Because I loved her. I thought she was adorable, a sweet girl.
She's in so many things. She started off her career in Pacific Rim 2. She was offered The Beguiled in Pacific Rim 2 on the same day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was doing an independent film with her, and she had to leave the movie because she got cast. She had to choose between those two as major roles. I'm not talking about a side character.
Right.
Major roles. She turned
really
18,
good.
And they just grabbed her up.
Say her name again, Dawn.
It's Kaylee Spaney, and it's CAILEESPNEY.
Okay, got it. And she's in Mayor of Easttown, which is on HBO Max. New episodes come out every Sunday, which kind of bums me out that I have to wait that long. 9 o'clock on HBO.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Want to take a break?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, if you see something, you should say something. I tell you what, Courtney Stoddard has said something. It has to do with Chrissy Teigen. I find this story very interesting. We'll tell you all about their little feud when we come right back on My Talk 107.1. Thanks for listening to Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. This story about Chrissy Teigen and Courtney Stoddard has caught my eye. Let us discuss.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
If you see something, say something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
So I'm seeing all these headlines about Chrissy Teigen apologizing to Courtney Stodden for things that she had said about her via social media in the past. So I'm like, what is this all about? We're going to have to go back in time a little bit.
Let's take a journey.
Let's go back to 2011. Okay. That is when, at the age of 16, this Courtney Stodden married actor Doug Hutchinson, who was then 50 or 51 years old. And she married him. He was her acting coach.
And he was in The Green Mile, by the way.
That's how you would know him, right? And he got the permission of her parents to marry her. And so then we see them all over the tabloids, and everyone's like, this is weird. This isn't right. She's kind of like this little bubbly pinup doll looking girl.
She
with
looked
big
a
boobs.
Lot older than she was. She kind of looked like Pam Anderson.
She did.
Like, whoa.
She really did. So she was only 16, but you know, they were doing like couples therapy. They were finding their way on like these reality shows and everything. And she got at the time, now keep in mind she's only 16 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she became the object of widespread scorn and ridicule. She was slut shamed. And Chrissy Teigen was a repeat offender. So that's where all of this comes in, right?
Okay.
So all of this, she's the child here being groomed by a 50-year-old man, but nobody's saying anything really about him. And everyone's picking on her for the way she acts, for the way she dresses, for being
the size of her boobs. I mean, I remember an episode of either Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz where they did a, because she's like, my boobs are real.
Mm-hmm.
They did on the show.
Like an ultrasound or something.
A scan of her breasts.
To prove.
She is underage at the time. And I'm like, geez, what? Louise. Like, it was a media just
circus.
It was like all the sharks were circling, mm-hmm. and everybody was talking about them.
Yeah,
and we were all like, I was like, where are her parents? They signed the, they said, we will let our underage daughter get married to this 51-year-old.
Yeah. And he was older than her parents.
Yeah.
Joy Behar called her a slut. Anderson Cooper said she looked like a stripper. Chrissy Teigen said some things about her. She said, and we'll get to what Chrissy had to say about it, but she was saying things like, why don't you just go die? And not just on her social media, but also direct messaging her.
Like just kill yourself.
Yes.
Mm. She's a minor.
And I can't wait for you to die. Something about lie in the dirt or something. You know, just the implication is just you're useless.
She said, my Friday fantasy, Courtney Sodden, you, a dirt nap. Mm.
Wow.
Just really awful. Over.
And I have a whole new understanding and appreciation. She finally got divorced.
Yeah.
Okay. Just last year it was finalized. I think in 2018 they started. But part of this grooming process, like, she was so dependent on him, almost like a parent and child. She still doesn't have a driver's license. So at one point, he went to, I don't know, Wyoming or somewhere, and she was left in West Hollywood, and she realized, I don't know what to do with myself because I suffer from depression. And then the pandemic hit, like, right when she got divorced, which made it even more difficult. So I have this, I have feelings for her. She's grown up. She now has an understanding of how this marriage was actually part of a grooming process.
Yes, and she said that she was abused, and there's just a lot of sad stuff going on.
Yeah, so now...
Abused in her own family growing up?
No, or by Doug Hutchinson.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Chrissy Teigen basically put out an apology.
Okay.
And she said, not a lot of people are lucky enough to be held accountable for all their past bull crap in front of the entire world. I'm mortified and sad at who I used to be. I was an insecure, attention-seeking troll. I'm ashamed and completely embarrassed at my behavior, but that is nothing compared to how I made Courtney feel. I'm so sorry, Courtney. I hope you can heal now, knowing how deeply sorry I am.
But well, then Courtney had a different take on that apology.
She wants to believe her, and she does accept her apology, but she wonders about its sincerity because she says it feels like a public attempt to save her partnerships with Target and other brands who are realizing.
Right, because Chrissy Teigen has said that she reached out to her privately, and Courtney Sodden said, not true.
Right. Hmm.
She just put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Something's got to give there.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Who's telling the truth? Was there a message?
Well, she had the receipts, you know. She showed that she was blocked. So.
And all the direct messages that you can see and all the tweets.
Yeah. She's got them all. So I just wonder if there's going to be like bigger conversations about this type of thing. Like, let's stop like shaming people for who they are, you know, for the way she dresses.
I'm glad that things are changing. I'll say that. I hope.
I am too, Dawn.
You think social media will be around in 25 years?
I hope not.
Boy, that's a question to ask because the wrap-up bed is...
Yeah, isn't that nice? Boom, just drop it and I leave. Hey, bye, Dawn.
Bye, Dawn. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back with the Dirt Alert from Greg.